Cool. It's funny. I have some good news. Like, I don't know. I asked a teenager this morning, but have you ever had the thought that there might be somebody in your family, long lost relative, that has is very, very wealthy, and when they passed away, they left you an inheritance that, and you didn't know about it? And like, you ever think about that? Don't, us adults, we don't want to admit we've ever thought that. But the teenager I asked said, "Oh yeah, I think about that." I'm like, "Well, good luck. It's not going to happen. I know your family. It's not going to happen." But the officials, powers that be, have contacted me and asked me if I'd do this morning. It's crazy. And in this envelope, at the end of the service, I'm going to reveal to you, it's someone is about to inherit something amazing. And it's going to be exciting. So don't leave. Or if it's you're not going to get it. So it's a big deal. But isn't that, it's interesting. It's like, that's not a, Bob and I were talking about, not inheritance. We were talking about retirement, saving for retirement and preparing for retirement. Listen, if you're putting all your eggs in the basket of when you have a rich relative that unbeknownst to you has left you $1 million when they died or 10 million, don't, that's not a good investment strategy. I'm just saying. It's like, but we have that kind of hope, don't we? And so I want to talk today about that because it is important. It's interesting that I told you guys, I'm in going to graduate level classes about therapy and counseling and that stuff. And so we're studying human nature and stuff. And it is absolutely true. Some of the things they know is true. Some of the things they know is not, I don't agree with. But this is true. Children need to know that they matter. We need to know that we our lives are making a difference. As an adult, I need to know that it matters what I do. Who I am. You need to know who you are. The worst thing in the world is just to be lost and not have a clue about your purpose on earth, or are you making a difference, or does anybody even care about you? Those are huge things, guys. They're huge in our lives. For your emotional, mental well-being, you need to settle those things. And it's so important to children that we help them understand who they are, why they're here, where they come from, that they have a family, that people care about them. Those things are indispensable in a child's life, in a human's life, in us all. And so we ask those questions. Does it matter? Do you matter? Does anybody care? I want you to leave here today knowing those answers to those issues. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 is the passage I'm going to start looking at today. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, actually, I said Romans, I meant Ephesians 4:1. The calling which you were called. A lot of us think about our callings and we narrow it down to this thing like, well, I'm called to be a dentist, or I'm called to be a pastor, or I'm called to be a musician, or we think of our calling as what we do. And there's so much more than that. The calling is bigger than that, and but it's something that we all need to know. And so today, I want to talk about spiritual blessings and divine purpose, and that'll make more sense later. And I think of it this way: privilege and purpose. And this will make more sense in the future. And in the first thing that Paul did in Ephesians chapter 4, and I put all these verses up there. I hope there you can see them, because I'd want to just leave them up here. But let's just focus on that first verse. It's chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1. The Apostle Paul said this: "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Paul beseeches us. You could, some versions put beg you, urge you, implore you. I'm pleading with you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called. And he started that sentence with a word that one of our spiritual fathers, Alan Vincent, says, therefore. I therefore, fourth chapter of this letter to the Ephesians, Paul said, because of what I wrote in the previous three chapters, I plead with you to walk worthy of who you are. And, well, it would behoove us to go back and look and say, why, Paul? Why is this such a big deal? He said, well, it's because of what I've already written. Go back and look at what I've written. And I understand that because in the first three chapters, Paul gave us the clearest, most concise verbiage of who it is and what had happened, who Jesus is, who God is, who we are. If you want to learn who you are, then let's don't do like we do in the world. Do you know what the world does? Well, tell me what's in your wallet. Tell me what your job is. Tell me what you've accomplished. Tell me where you failed. You see, you can live by the world's definition of who you are. We can live by our circumstances. We can judge ourselves by our surroundings. Or we can listen to what Paul says. And I think it's a big deal. You see, this is God's Word, right? And in God's Word, God's Word is about the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Like, what does Paul say about who Jesus is and what Jesus accomplished? And what does Paul say about you and me? So you can base your self-esteem and purpose and destiny and your future on what you see in the physical realm and what people say. Listen, don't base your value upon what other people think of you. Don't even place your value upon what you think of you, because there's a greater authority in the world. The Word, and the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. So guys, I want to look today at what the Bible says about this, because you have a choice every day to live by your own self-judgment or by the standards of this world, or you can live by the truth. And I want to challenge you today. And so when Paul said this, he said, listen, I'm begging you to start thinking this way. I'm beseeching you. I'm doing everything I can to convince you that you are who this book says you are. You're not who you think you are. You're not who your mama said you were or who your daddy said you were. You're not who your boss says you are. You're not who the television says you are, and you're sure not who the internet says you are. You can Google it and chat GPT it all you want to, and nothing you find is gonna be more true than this right here. And so we want to look at Ephesians. I want you to leave here today knowing who you are, where you're going, no more questions, and your purpose. And I'm begging you to believe what he says and listen to the Holy Spirit, right? So you ask yourself those questions. Why am I here? Do I have value and worth? Am I making a contribution, a meaningful contribution to this world? Those are what's really important. It doesn't really matter how much money you have at the end of ends when it's all over. No, that's not going to be what touches your heart. It's something much deeper than that. So I just want to give you a heads up on this. I know what you're called to. I know what Paul's talking about, and it's a high calling. It's far above anything you've ever dreamed or imagined. It's such a high calling that there's nothing you could ever do to deserve it, to earn it, to make it happen. Your calling is so far beyond the physical world and your natural abilities that you'll never fulfill your destiny until you walk in the way Paul talks about here. And I tell you what, once you understand this high calling that we have, it will destroy the power of religion. It'll destroy the accusations of the devil. It'll undermine and cut guilt and shame will no longer have any place in your life. Your calling is so high that when you understand and you believe and you have faith in what God says about you, your life will change. It'll change forever. Nobody's performance could ever be good enough to earn this high calling. And so this high calling that I'm talking about, that Paul's talking about, it's a manifestation, literally a physical, spiritual, real manifestation of the grace of Jesus Christ. It's literally His grace that places us in this position. It's nothing you do can earn it. Nothing we do deserves it. And I want to look at it today. And so there's another verse, that next verse. I love this verse, and we use it in all kinds of ways, but we use it in such a narrow way, and we don't understand it's a big deal. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, right? For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, unchangeable, unstoppable. You can't do anything to stop the gifts and callings of God on your life. You didn't make it happen, and you can't make it stop. And we turn it into some kind of thing that we actually are in control of. And that's not true, because the Scripture says His callings are irrevocable, unstoppable. Man didn't make it happen, and man can't stop it. And we tend to judge ourselves based off of the things we see by the evidence of our circumstances. And the truth is, your circumstance doesn't define you. Your failures don't define you. Your areas where you're still growing, that doesn't define you. You know what defines you? It's not your circumstance, it's your stance. What does God say about you? Who are you? And I tell you, there's nothing... That's what the Scripture does. It tells us who God is, and it tells us who we are. And it's a fact, and it's 100% true. Now, I love this verse. I love that we sang that song, "You are good, you are good. You're never going to let me down." You know what? If Jesus says it, He means it. If He means it, He's going to accomplish it, and it can't be stopped. He is good. And we're going to look at what Jesus says about us. And we're going to have to stand, because you know what faith is? Faith is when I stand on the evidence of things I can't see and the things I can't know. It's faith. And guys, I'm going to tell you, what makes these callings happen in our lives is when we believe what He says over what we believe the world says. Now, here's something I love about this calling. If you go to that next verse, right, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, one thing I notice about our calling is it's spiritual. That means that there's nothing physical you can do to make it happen. We're talking spiritual. We're not talking physical, we're not talking psychological, we're not talking about the size of your brain or the absence of your brain that most teenage boys have. You know, their front lobe's just not developed, right? Yeah, there's only one teenage boy, but it's like, your front lobe's not fully developed yet. And men, guess what? It usually doesn't happen until you're 30. So don't you guys start getting all proud. Well, I'm not a teenager anymore. Yeah, you're 28. Guess what? Still not developed. That's got nothing to do with this, because we're talking spiritual. Who you are is determined by the spirit realm, not by the physical realm. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians. God has blessed you with some spiritual blessings, right? No. every spiritual blessing. Guys, do not limit your view of the world on what you can see with your eyes or hear with your ears. There's a spirit realm that far surpasses anything we've ever seen or known. And what Jesus says is true. But it's spiritual. It's spiritual. And the other thing he says, it's heavenly. This is not just spiritual, it's heavenly. What did Jesus tell us to pray? Pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Guys, this your position is determined by what heaven is experiencing, not what you might be experiencing now. You may be in trouble. Your back may be against the wall. You may have a long history of failures and defeats and attacks, and the enemy may be sitting right on top of your head. But I want to tell you, there's another reality that's more true than what you're experiencing for you and for everybody else. So quit judging yourself by what you experience. And you know what? There's an enemy. The father of lies. The accuser of the brethren. You know what he brings? Guilt, shame, resentment, anger, judgment. That all comes from a place, and it's not from heaven. It's from another place. And we're in this world, and the enemy is fighting this battle to keep you from believing in what Jesus has done and forcing us. We're in bondage to what we see or hear or even what we do. Like some of us have judged ourselves by what we've done in the past. And Jesus said, get your eyes off of the earth and look at heaven. Well, are you saying it doesn't matter what I did in the past? I'm saying that that's not determining your future. What you believe by faith will release the power of God. You know that you've been adopted, that you've been born again of the same family, the same lineage that Jesus Christ. You see, our battle's to believe that. And when you believe what Jesus says, what the Scripture says, then that blood of His that's flowing through your veins releases a power that can transform the world. And that's what this battle's over. That's why Paul is so serious about this. He said, guys, I'm begging you to believe this because it'll change your world. It'll bring heaven to earth. And it's not just about going to heaven when you die. It's about God's kingdom. That's why Jesus didn't say, here's what I want you guys to pray. Pray that everybody goes to heaven when they die. That's if us Baptists, that's what we would have prayed. That isn't what Jesus prayed. He prayed, pray that God's will being done in heaven will be done on earth. And that happens every time we believe. So I like this verse. I like what he's saying here. They're irrevocable. You see, this calling wasn't a choice. You were born into it. When you're born again, you were born into this calling. Well, wait a second. No, you were born into it. It's a blood relative. It's the reality. It's like, you know what? I can't help it. I'm a Southern American. Not from South America. I'm from the South in the United States of America. And guess what? And I'm an Alford. And we have these family attributes. If you're an Alford, you might have blue eyes. Well, until I married a Brazilian who has brown eyes. Now you'll probably have one blue eye, one brown eye. I don't know, whatever. But your blood, your genetics are determined by who's your family. My destiny and your destiny aren't determined by the past or our failures or our weaknesses or our abilities. Our life is determined by the family that we're a part of. And that's how big a deal this is. And I love the way it says it. Now, guess why? You know, Jesus said, you have to be born again. Because we were all born into Adam's family, but Jesus came and he was the second Adam. And now we've been born into a new family. Now, do you believe it? Because the results of your life are determined by faith and whether you believe who he says you are and whether you know whose family you're in. And I'm going to skip that until later. So, I therefore, because of this, this is why. It releases the power of God in my life. And so that when you read the Beatitudes, when you look at the Scripture and you see that we should be kind and loving and gracious and honest and hardworking, you see all of that. That's what happens as you begin to realize whose family you are in. You don't do that to become a part of the family. You live that way because you are from that family. See the difference? One's religion, and one is about shame and regret and guilt. And the other one is a revelation of life, that there's blood flowing in your veins because of whose you are, that's going to change your nature, your character, everything about you. It's already been determined. Maybe you weren't born with blue eyes, but you're going to get them. You're going to have them one day. So Paul is begging them, right? Now, so it's unstoppable. I like the song. Next verse I want to look at, Ephesians 1:3. Now we're going back to what Paul's talking about. There's so much in the first three chapters of Ephesians. It's like literally an instruction manual of how to walk in the power of God. Ephesians, the first, really the whole book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm cherry picking some verses just because we don't have that much time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I already read that one. We're going to verse 4. Go on the next verse, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him. Well, no, I chose God. Well, you chose to respond to Him, but He chose you. I mean, read it again. Study it. It's what it says. Because He chose us in Him. When did He choose us? I'm sorry, before the world was created. Before you were born. Well, do you believe in predestination? Don't muddy the waters with things that make us look smart, but really make us look stupid. This is spiritual, and me and you can't understand spiritual without revelation from the Holy Spirit. All I know is this: He chose every one of us in Him before we were ever born. Now, I love this verse. What did He choose us? That we should be holy and without blame. He chose us in Him to be holy and without blame. That means you can't be blamed for anything. Now, I know there's somebody whispering in your ear blaming you for stuff. I mean, I know your wife, and I know she said that, but it's not true. That was a joke that some of you think, you're talking about me. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the enemy. He's whispering in your ear. He's blaming you for what happened. He's blaming you for what didn't happen. He's blaming you for what somebody got hurt. He's blaming you for failing. He's blaming you. But the truth is, He chose us in Him to be holy and without blame. You know why? Because Jesus took all of our blame on His shoulders. It's by His stripes we're healed. He took everything that would condemn us, that would punish us. He took it all. He took everything. So He says, I'm taking it. I'm the one to blame here. Don't blame Bill. Don't blame Mark. Don't blame Lucy. Don't blame, because I'm taking your guilt. I'm taking your shame. I'm going to hell in your place, and I'm going to experience all the pain and misery and suffering in your stead. And Jesus did that. So you and I don't have any right to be guilty. We don't have any right to be ashamed of ourselves. Is it a fact what we did or what we didn't do? Absolutely true. But Jesus said, I'm taking the blame and you're holy. Well, I'm not holy. Get your mind out of the earth, not the gutter, earth, and get it in heaven. In the spirit realm, Jesus says that you're holy. But I'm not. Quit arguing with the God of the universe and give up. Just give up. Well, Jesus, I guess I'm holy. I guess I'm going to believe you. If you'll give me the faith to believe. And you can't have any faith besides his faith anyway. There's only one faith. So, Jesus, give me the faith to believe that I'm holy, even though I looked at a dirty book last night or whatever. They don't even do dirty books anymore. That was from my childhood, not yours. God, I'm holy even though I got drunk last night. I'm holy even though I slapped my kid or whatever. Why? Because God's holiness is greater than your unholiness. Do you believe it? When you believe it, when you ask God to help your unbelief, then guess what? His blood becomes effective in your heart. And it starts to flow through your body and give you a strength you've never experienced, give you self-control you've never had. Because if humans could accomplish this in their own strength, we can't. Even if you were perfect, you can't be in the position God's called you to. It's only by his blood, by his grace, that we can be who he's called us to be. So guys, it's really, I really like this. He took our responsibilities. So no more shame, no more regret, no more blaming, no more second guessing. So you quit doing that to yourself and quit doing it to the person sitting next to you or in the next church or over across town. Because he took their blame too. He took their guilt too. He took everything from them too. So he quit looking at them through earthly eyes and look at them the way Jesus sees them. He sees them as his precious, precious child. As his bride, because of not what we did, but because of what he did. And it's all by faith. So there's none. And now, if you go on, let's finish reading that. Holy and without blame before him. In love, everything with Jesus about us is love. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons. You have every right that the Son of God has because you're a son, because he adopted you. I remember Jeannie's family, the first child they adopted. We have 100+ nieces and nephews, and I don't know how many of them were adopted, 6 or 7. Maybe not that many out of 100, but I remember the first little girl that got adopted. She was 4 years old. Her name's Ann. Before she got adopted, her name was the month she was born or conceived. I can't remember. And she was from China, and they paid a lot of money, and they went and got her. And it's so funny, when they got to China to get her, they were supposed to pay, I don't remember what it was, like they were supposed to give them $4,000 or $5,000. And it's crazy, when they got there, the price kept going up. It's like, is this a used car lot or what are they doing here? Well, they finally come home with Ann, and Ann is so cute. She just had a baby. She was in Florida where the hurricane was, and she's fine. Baby's good. But so Ann's in medical school now or something. But she, I remember we go to Tyler, Texas to see our new niece, right? Our new from China niece named Ann. We get there and we had a gift. And we get there, the first thing Ann does, she's so cute, she's little. The first thing she does is she's wearing a skirt, and she doesn't speak English yet. First thing she does is pulls her skirt up and shows me her underwear. I'm like, Chinese tradition? Is this what? I don't know. And then it's like, she had never owned an undergarment. She had never worn one, and she was so proud. And then we took her a gift. Something, I don't remember what it was. We took her some kind of gift. And so we give her a gift, and she only knew like one English word. But the word she knew was forever. And so like I give her the gift, and she takes it, and it's like, it was just some little something, right? She takes it, and she's like, she looks at the gift, and she looks at me, and she goes, her little tiny self, she goes, forever? And I could tell, that's a question. I'm like, yeah, Ann. You're my family. You're family now. You don't look like me, and you don't dress like I do, but you're family, girl. And when I give you something, it's irrevocable. It's without strings attached. It's yours forever. Because in that world she lived in, she owned nothing. She wasn't a part of a family. She had no security, no future. Forever meant something. Do you know Jesus has chosen you forever to be in his family? You're forever. I met a friend of mine last year, I think it was. His dad died. His mother and dad both died real close together, so I'm trying to remember which funeral. And I'm at a funeral. This guy, I've been friends with him since I was 6 years old, so nearly 40 years. And that was a joke. Y'all didn't get it. I'm older than that. But at the funeral, I think it was at the second funeral, at his mother's funeral, he comes across the parking lot to see me. His name's Rick. And I said, "Hey, Rick, how you doing?" And he had a young man with him. He said, "This is my son." And I'm like, "No, it's not," because I knew his son. He's like, "No, this was a son I never knew I had. He found me through that DNA thing that people do nowadays, you know. He found his birth father. And his mother had never told him he had a birth father. But he had been in this home with a father who wasn't his father, who never treated him well, who never bonded with him. He felt like an orphan his whole life." And this young man was 28 or 30 years old, maybe 32 or 3, something. He wasn't that young. And he found his dad. He found his dad. He said, "I knew as soon as I met you that I act like you, I look like you." And you know what? I didn't know that boy but for a second, that young man. But guess what? It didn't matter because he was my friend's son. So he's with me too because his dad's with me. Guys, I want to tell you, there's a thing happened in heaven. There's a thing happened without me or you having anything to do with it, and you became a son with the full rights and privileges, fully accepted. God didn't even ask you your permission about it. He adopted you, and what's his is now yours. And the prodigal of the lost sons, right? What that father said, he said, son, everything I have is yours. And the son who stayed home, who was resentful and bitter and entitled, he said, "Listen, son, I've never withheld anything from you. It's all been yours. Do you know that everything God has is ours? And we're on a journey discovering of getting belief, faith, believing that we're his son. And if I'm his son, I have rights and privileges, and I'm part of the family just as much as Jesus is part of the family." So guys, we don't struggle with this anymore. And you know what he says in that last part of Ephesians 1:5? Why did he do it? Why did Jesus do this? For his own good pleasure. He did it because it brings him joy to know you, to be your dad, to be one with you, to share blood with you. It makes him happy. It's for his pleasure and will. Like I said, I really love that when I think about it. He didn't even ask me my permission before he sent Jesus. Now, you know what? We have good news for the world. And the good news is this: you've got a daddy who loves you. You may have been an orphan your whole life, like my niece Anne, but guess what? You have a family now, and it'll never be taken away from you. No one can take you out of his hand, ever. And you don't have to do anything to be family. I'm so proud. I have two daughter-in-laws. They're both here this morning. They married Jeannie and my sons, right? Daniel and Matthew. And I actually knew both of them before they became sweethearts with my sons, you know. And I liked them both. I thought they were both wonderful people. I was excited when they started, like, making eyes. Like, I used to watch them. It's so funny. They'd be doing that eye thing that you do when you like somebody, you know, like, I don't even know. They make the eyes thing. I'm like, and I'd watch Matthew's face turn red and start sweating. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's something going on between these two. Well, I liked them, but then they became part of my family. It no longer mattered. It was a done thing. Martha and Jennifer are family. They have the full rights of a child. They have full access. They have full everything that both of my sons have, they have now. Everything I have is theirs. Guys, that's who you are. You want to know your standing? You're standing in a very high privileged place because you're a son of God. That's who you are. Now, do you believe it? Are you listening to the source of all lies who's trying to keep you from knowing who you are? So, I'm excited about it. Hello, Jessica. Jessica's hiding in the wings. She believes it. I know she does. So guess what? I was going to do this at the end. We've reached the end. In this envelope is a revelation of who has an inheritance from an extremely wealthy relative. It'll change your life. It really will change your life. Y'all want to know who it is? I need somebody. Eli, you're young. Come up here. Do you mind? You also have red hair, and we love red hair, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, Chris, we just love hair. Any color, any shape, any form. So, Eli, you're going to tell me who this is. Who gets the inheritance, okay? Louder. Who? Eli does. Because guess what that is? No. Guess who gets the inheritance?
Everyone.
Because of what he did. So guys, there is a great inheritance. I mean, this is better than money. go sit down before you ruin my message. Thank you, Eli. But I know for a fact, your grandma, you get it all, baby. You're going to have to pay all of her bills and everything she leaves, you got to pay them. Guys, let's change our shift from who we're not to who we are. Who are you? Son of the King. Yeah, but, win this battle. It's a battle of faith. And there's a darkness that's trying to tell you the opposite. Your belief will destroy the power of that voice in your life. You believing will destroy that. And you begin to walk in a new power that's from Him. And it's all by faith. Without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, you can live in a spirit world. So let's all stand up. I want to give away gifts this morning. We have ministry teams that will be up here. Because it's real. The battle's real. I don't know if any of you deal with doubt. You know what I mean? If any of you deal with guilt. If any of you guys deal with regret. Right? Not knowing your purpose, not feeling like you have a destiny, that's coming from the voice of the enemy. You need to hear his voice this morning. You need to experience his presence this morning. So this morning we have prayer teams that they'd love to pray with you about that. Shame's not from the Lord. Guilt is not from the Lord. Regret is not from the Lord. God's called you to a higher place, a spiritual place, a heavenly place. Let's live from there. Religion says you got to get there. You don't do anything to get there. He did it. It happens in your life. It's supernatural. Amen. So I want to pray and we'll be dismissed. I appreciate Daniel making that so clear this morning. Next Saturday, if you like people, you can go hang out. We'll have a booth, right, Harvey? If you want to help in the booth, talk to Harvey. Pastor Harvey's right here. He is in charge of the booth. Him and he has a team of people, thank the Lord, because it's a lot of work. They'll minister to hundreds of kids, right? Literally thousands of kids, because it's all about kids. What we do at the Cabot Fest is about kids. And then Sunday night, 5 o'clock, if you want to give me what I like, come to the picnic and hang out with me. And especially if you show up early and help put up tables and chairs and all that stuff, that's stuff I like doing. So if you want to give me a really good pastor gift, that'd be a great one. Come and eat hot dogs with me. We're going to have chili and hot dogs. We're going to have the good hot dogs, those that we got last time. They're really good, all beef, big, okay? So this morning, I felt like God said, I do have a gift, and it's not like only for one person. Your inheritance is in here. God has something for you. Amen? So, Father, I just thank you for your presence, God. I thank you that we're not limited to the things of this world, to the facts. God, that you determine our value and our worth, and you determine our future. God, I just ask that we would all be free from that enemy's voice that's always slandering and accusing and condemning. Jesus, we want to hear your voice. So this morning, Lord, I just ask that anyone here, God, you give us the courage to step out and to have an encounter with you today. So if the Lord's calling you this morning, we'd invite you to come. We have really good news, and it's from the Lord. Amen? So God bless you. Greet each other. Thank you for being here this morning. Okay.